Wake up, wake up.
Hi, I'm Matthew Carlock, and you're listening to another episode of Sleep Deprived Storytime, where I go over the what's, where's, who, how's, when's, and oh my gods of raising my two kids. This is an incredibly exhausting but ultimately rewarding experience. Let's chat.
Now let's get on with the show.
Welcome back, friends, family, randos on the internet. I said you weren't randos last time. You're friends. You're just friends. Welcome back, friends and family. Well, it's 2023. I mean, it's been 2023 for a while, but I'm going to do a little bit of a time machine loop back to the very beginning of the year, because I'm going to name this show or this episode 2023, the year of pestilence. January started off so promising, so full of hopes and dreams, until the first signs of disease started making its way into our house. Ugh. Two stomach bugs, two separate stomach bugs went through our house, not just hit each kid 4-in-1, but they, like, one took out me, one took out, the second time it came around, took out my wife. Ugh. We had done so well avoiding COVID, and we got COVID this year. Sinus infections, the poor kids had mucus and snot coming out their eyes. I'm not lying, out their eyes. When you have kids, you'll see a bunch of fun things like x-rays, and you get to learn more about the human body, and in those x-rays you will see all their teeth. I don't know if you've seen them, but if you haven't yet, look at x-rays of babies' skulls, and you'll see their teeth, and all those teeth are in their sinuses, so there's not a lot of room, and not to mention they're small to begin with. And, like, pollen doesn't change size for, you know, a baby. It is still that same giant spore in their face, whatever. They got a lot of mucus, and it just comes out everywhere. Eyes, ears, you know, of course the nose, down throat, all those things. Our kids also got, we got it 2 years ago, hand, foot, mouth disease with the four, and the one got it this year as well. All of this is like within 2 months too. Hand, foot, mouth is blisters and things on, you guessed it, your hands, your feet, and your mouth. And of course, the mouth is extremely painful. The young one also got RSV. And actually, not just the young one, four. Four also got RSV. Or maybe it was just four. I can't remember. There have been so many diseases. RSV is kind of scary. It's low fever, lots of coughing, but their energy is just gone. And what's worse is when you take them to an urgent care or emergency room, they can't do anything about it. It's a bad common cold. It's a upper respiratory thing, and it just kills everything, or energy anyway. They just tell you rest and here's some pain medication. If you're not careful with all of these diseases going around, you can even end up with skin rashes and infections, like yeast infection. Poor little one got a pretty bad yeast infection at some point. And boys are very curious and always, you know, picking at things and trying to figure out what's going on, and that just ends up making everything so much worse. But probably what's been the biggest pain in the butt for us this year has been the, I take it back. There's been two things that have been a huge pain in the butt for us this year. One is strep, and the other is ear infections. Now, strep is a stupid, stupid bacterial infection of the throat, usually caused by, allergies, sinuses, post-nasal drip. All right, gets down there, But Strep itself is its own strain and will just leech the light out of the life out of your kids. It got to the point where the first time our kid probably had strep, we went to urgent care and they were just like, oh, your kid has either an ear infection or fluid in the ear. And they were like, you know, what are you going to do about it? Well, the kid has been like, a 4-year-old has been like languishing on the couch and saying his legs hurt and not wanting to go anywhere, not even wanting to go on a like family walk, not wanting to play. Sometimes the energy would come back and they'd be super excited and happy. And sometimes, you know, they would just like want to lay on the couch for forever or not want to play or do anything. So when we talked to the urgent care people, they said nothing to worry about. The next day, it got worse. Finally, we were so worried, we took them to the doctor. The doctor was like, you need to go to the hospital right now because while we tested him from strep, there's nothing there. I'm just very, very worried about him. He was super dehydrated. He wasn't really doing anything. And as we were leaving the doctor's office, my son asked me, can we go to McDonald's? I'm like, no, you're sick, kid. Next time we leave a doctor or hospital, we'll go to McDonald's. Like, that's what he's worried about. Okay, good job, kid. Anyway, get to the hospital. If you've ever been there in the emergency room, you know it's an 8-hour ordeal. It's sitting and waiting and waiting and sitting, and that's all that there is to it. It's just a lot of that. But, you know, sometimes you make friends. I ended up talking with two other people who had kids about Four's age, and they were in there for the same exact thing. They were completely dehydrated. They had a lot of the same symptoms. What the doctor did is give kids some popsicles and, you know, treat the pain with some Motrin or something, and then that was it. Sent them on their way, except us. Except as we had a weird combination of symptoms in which he didn't really have a fever, but he was achy, mostly complaining of stomach pains. So the doctors ordered a sonogram on his stomach. We couldn't find anything. Ended up sending us home. And on the way home, this kid asked to go to McDonald's. Bravo. Well played, kid. Anyway, it's like, what was it, 11 p.m. at night, something like that, and we had to stop because I told him we would go if next time we left a doctor's office, and he knew exactly what a hospital was. Whatever, and now it's come back. It's going down their throat, lots of coughing. We think that the one has strep. I might have it. You might hear it in my voice right now. I'm not doing great. I've had working for 3 days, and my job involves lots of talking. So I'm resting more or less, and strep is just not fun. But the big one that has been the biggest pain is by far is our ear infections. Okay. New parents out there or anyone listening, an ear infection usually occurs when fluid builds up either behind or on top of, generally behind your kid's eardrum. The eardrum is the thing that sits at the end of the canal, kind of as a nice little soft point, but it absorbs all the sound and transmits it into the brain. Ear infection after ear infection, usually treated the same way. I'll get into more of that in a second. Something's not happening, and it culminated in Four's eardrum bursting. This isn't for the faint of heart. Y'all, he woke up at like 11 o'clock and just the pain was so much that he just threw up. Stayed up with him. All we could do was give him medicine and hope that it dulled the pain enough for him to go to sleep, which luckily it did. In the morning, his ear was just leaking everywhere. And this is, by the way, after going to the urgent care again and then just telling us, it's just a little fluid. It's not infected yet. Well, it goes from bad to worse very, very quickly. And this eardrum explosion of material, it was just, it got so built up, it just popped. Now, good news. Simply, there's a simple way to treat it. Lots of medication. Lots of pain management. Bad news is, you know, his eardrum burst. It must have been extremely painful. So I decided to look at, well, go over what some of the experts say about kids' diseases, what you can expect, and also some insights for parents or everyone when your kid gets sick. Once you did the entire prescription, whatever you need to for your antibiotics, you're gonna notice the side effects going away pretty quickly. And those side effects suck. If they're really young, their poop, well, even at 5 or younger, their poop is gonna change color. Sometimes it'll be not smelly. That's kind of good, except when you rely on it to change their diaper. And when it comes out all liquidy and stuff, you don't necessarily notice it. You might think, oh, they have a wet diaper, but I just changed them 30 minutes ago. I can go another 30 minutes before I change them again. Don't do that. Always check, because sitting in antibiotic poop sucks for the kid and can lead to more rashes, more infections, things like that. Don't be surprised if a kid has no appetite or complains that their stomach hurts afterwards. They always try to give the antibiotics with food, water, drink, something. But again, as unlikable as the side effects are, remember, you're trying to cure the infection and help them with whatever's ailing them. For us, that leads us to ear tubes. I went on nationwidechildrens.org. They have an excellent video that shows the entire procedure of ear tubes being put into a kid. It's nothing. The video is like, just a few minutes long. And the whole process is done within a couple of hours. You're there at the hospital, you're sitting, you're waiting, kid gets anesthetized, goes to sleep, 15, 20 minute surgery, they're out. When they wake up 30 minutes later, you can go home. Like, it's that kind of easy thing. Now, what the tubes do is create an air passageway between the middle canal, like the part where you hear, and the Eustachian tube. Now, in adults, the reason why we don't get ear infections that much is that it sits at a 45 degree angle and drains right to the back of our nose, you know, in our sinuses, down to our throat. It sounds gross, whatever, we're disgusting people. But in kids, it is like horizontal. So that means fluid that builds up back there, water, sweat, wax, sinus stuff, doesn't drain as easily because it's got nowhere to drip down to. It's just kind of sitting there. And that can put pressure on the eardrum going forward when it needs to come out. These tubes kind of create this little airway so that A, air can kind of move in, help dry out things. B, allow fluid to flow in and out. And just allows this relief of pressure and from these symptoms. Now, apparently they fall out on their own, and then the tube, the hole where they were, just kind of heals up on its own. Yeah, that's it. Sometimes if the tube doesn't heal, the hole doesn't heal up on its own, the doctors have to take it out. Sometimes it pushes the tube out and heals up on its own anyway, and then you got to go back in again. Big deal. Literally almost all my friends, I think, in San Antonio have tubes in their kids' ears. It's no big deal. So hopefully you guys fingers crossed, hopefully fingers crossed, that this will be it on, well, not it, but, you know, yeah, to hopefully we get some relief. That's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping that 2023 is not a full year of the pestilence, but I'm not going to be surprised. I mean, they do love licking doorknobs. One is like on the floor picking up stuff, putting it in his mouth left and right. I mean, ugh. So, I mean, there's going to be stuff, but again, fingers crossed. That's it for this episode. I'm done. Be happy, be healthy, and as always, get some sleep. Okay, so what I've looked up, what I wanted to know is, like, what do the experts say about kids getting diseases all the time? What you can expect as a parent, what or how all illnesses should be approached, and then, you know, a couple of takeaways from me personally because I'm so special. And with each one of these, the main thing that it comes down to is parents. When you think your kid isn't feeling well, listen to your kids. Now, none of the scientific websites are going to say that. That is just my very special take. Because I'm special and it's my podcast and that's what I'm going to do. I can't say that enough. One of the things that we kept doing was saying, maybe this is not going to last long. Maybe he just doesn't feel well right now. Maybe he ate something, or maybe he didn't eat enough. But the main thing is really listen to your kids. Listen to them when they don't feel well. They don't really have reasons to lie. They want to play. They want to be up. They want to do stuff. We kept thinking that maybe he didn't want to go out on a walk for whatever reason. He didn't really like TV, and he would, of course, just want to sit there and watch TV, but that was apparently the only thing that he felt like he could do. What we started doing after, you know, month one of going through all these things was equipping him with more vocabulary words, specifically giving names to throat, inside the ear, outside the ear, cough, chest, head, side of head, front of head, back of head, up chest, lower chest, middle body, lower stomach. Like, equip your kids with words and listen to them. This saved us a lot of time later on. It would have saved us lots of time at the beginning if we had been able to understand that when he was saying he's tired, what he meant was he has no energy to run or walk or play or something like that. So it takes a lot, but definitely all worth it. So once again, parents, listen to your kids. Okay. So, what do the experts say? I looked at healthychildren.org, Mayo Clinic, and one website I'm going to talk about. I sort of like Yoda there for a second. One website I like, mostly just because of its name, Kernoodle. It's a doctor's blog, but I like it. And nationwidechildrens.org. So, the main websites, Mayo Clinic and healthychildren.org, a lot of the other medical websites that are posted, they all kind of give a list of the most common ailments that parents will see in kids under the age of five. As general as sore throat and coughing, but also ear pain, skin problems, But UTI, bronchitis, sinusitis, the common cold, flu, pink eye, chicken pox, lice, all the major websites that when you Google and you're looking up common ailments in kids. Again, I just want to point out this is for like, I'm speaking mostly to a suburban middle class audience, I guess. I don't know. I feel bad about that. But like, if you go onto UNICEF.org, they talk about like the number one thing for kids under five across the world is like pneumonia and malaria. Well, okay, we're not really dealing with pneumonia or malaria, so I'm gonna stick to the ones that my kids have generally had. Listening, like I talked about before, to your kids is important so that you can also relay the information to doctors. Doctors need a translator in the room with your kids to kind of really understand. Now, they're going to draw their own conclusions, and they're going to find out information for themselves. But again, they will sometimes need a translator. So make sure you've talked with your kids and you have a pretty good understanding of what's going on with them. Now, for most ailments, like literally almost all of them, antibiotics. Like your kid is just going to be pumped full of antibiotics. Amoxicillin, Augmentin, which is like amoxicillin plus, albuterol if it's airway things, or Keflex, a lot for ear and eye drops, I think. You're going to get these antibiotics in a suspension fluid or drop form, like I said. It is so important to follow the entire dosage. I know your kid is going to say, I feel better now. And you're tired of fighting them, putting the eye drops in. I know. It's for their good. You can do it, parent. You can do it, mom and dad. Wrestle them down, distract them, however you need to do. But get those drops in. Get that medicine in. Cover it up, put it in, if they can take it by the mouth, cover it up, put it in yogurt, or try and sneak alternating bites of food, whatever you need to do. But just try, please, to make sure you go through the entire dosage, the entire time that you're supposed to take the antibiotics. And that's our show. Thanks for listening. Please support the podcast by liking, sharing, and subscribing on whatever platform you're listening to.
You can also help the podcast through a monthly subscription through Spotify. For a low, low monthly price, you will get extra content such as readings of other short stories I've written, a chapter-by-chapter read of my middle-grade novel, Defenders, unedited interview, bloopers, and so much more.
You can follow the podcast on Twitter at SDSTPodcast. You can follow me personally on my Instagram and Twitters at KCOLRACM, that's at ColracM. And finally, a big shout out to Albert Maldonado for engineering the sound to perfection and writing our really awesome song. All right, see you next time.